Alyssa's work with Xiaogang Wen at MIT and Ashwin Vishwanath at Harvard. It's not published yet, but maybe in the next couple of months or so. So the outline of today is, because we have a pretty broad audience, so first I'll tell you about what is kind of the experimental setting that I'm thinking about, and that's realized in the lab. And then I'll put that setting in the mathematical framework. What is this topological phase mathematically? And then we'll talk about what do I mean by families of these topological phases. And there's two approaches. There's this approach that's been developed like many, many decades ago from a wave function effective field theory approach, which I will go through very quickly just to say that it is one method. And then I'll try to spend the bulk of the time on this other approach that we've been developing. And then I'll go through some examples. And examples will be throughout the talk. The fractional quantum Hall effect occurs when you have something material, and you take it to low temperatures, and you apply a magnetic field. And usually, when you apply an electric field, you'll get a current that goes parallel to the electric field. But in the presence of this magnetic field, you can get a perpendicular current. And the proportionality is given by the Hall conductance, which was discussed earlier this week by Anton. And the nice thing when you go to low enough temperatures and thin enough materials, nice enough materials, is that this thing is quantized and is related to a topological invariant that you can compute from the anion data, which I will discuss in a moment, in a few slides. And this thing is this new, we call the filling fraction. So we call it the filling fraction because it's the ratio of the electrons to the flux quanta in your system. I like to think of this, so this Hall conductance has an interpretation as an edge current, but as Anton mentioned, there's also a bulk interpretation of what it means. And the idea is that instead of having this electric field, I could consider the process of inserting a flux through my 2D system. And when I insert a flux, we know by Faraday's law that there will be an induced electric field. And then, so now you have this field, and then if you have a non-zero Hall conductance, there will be a perpendicular current. And so now you'll accumulate some charge here, which is proportional to the flux that you thread. So if you thread a 2 pi flux, you'll accumulate some charge, and that's given precisely by this filling fraction. And this picture will come in handy later. So these materials are, so I should mention that when this filling fraction is an integer, we have a nice picture of what happens. And basically, you get some invertible phase with a U1 symmetry. So there's a U1 symmetry, which is charge conservation, because you have some electrons, and you have conservation of total charge. This whole talk will be about U1 in fermionic systems. And when this nu is an integer, so it can create some invertible theory, gap theory. But when nu is a fraction, then it turns out that you need some non-trivial anion theory. And I will show exactly how this nu shows up in the anion theory. But we observe a lot of these fractions. So this nu can be various fractions. So all these fractions are values of nu that people observed in the lab many, many, many years ago. And so whenever you see this dip down, this represents some gapped phase of matter that we can describe by some anion theory with a U1 fractionalization. So a big task for condensed matter theorists is to find out, okay, this is some gap phase of matter, this is some other gap phase of matter, and here's another one. And what is actually the anion theory and the U1 fractionalization that is happening in this material? Okay, so now let's discuss how we describe U1 symmetry in which topological orders. And I'm always going to be actually referring, so this P is premodular because these materials are made of electrons, and so they're always going to be fermionic theories, actually. And you have some global U1 symmetry. So what you start off with is the anion theory, which I don't think I need to review for this audience. So you have some anion labels, some fusion coefficients, and FNR symbols. And because these are fermionic, there's going to be a transparent fermion that braids trivially with every other anion in the system. So the S and T matrices are degenerate because of the transparent fermion. So you could have some anions that are formed in pairs like this, AA bar. And you also need to describe how the U1 symmetry acts on the system. And that is going to be given by the fractionalization. So if you apply this U1 symmetry as a global symmetry on all of space at a single time slice, that's this U of G operator. And we assume that this state is U1 symmetric. So what ends up happening is that this U1 symmetry you can localize to how it acts on the individual anions here. So that's UA of G. And because it localizes on A and A bar, when you do the composition and you look at just A, it only needs to compose up to a projective phase that's canceled by A bar. And you can show that if you want this this two cocycle valued in U1 to be compatible with the fusion rules of these anions, then you can write this as just braiding with a particular abelian anion, which I will call V. And so this is an example when I'm taking the group to be U1. So this is going to be a pi rotation. And then if you apply this thing, then that should give you the charge, that should pick up the charge of your anion. So this is 2 pi I QA, which is the fractional charge associated with each anion. And that, again, is given by the braiding statistics with a particular chosen abelian anion B. Okay, as I mentioned before, there's also a Hall conductance and a filling fraction. So what is the filling fraction in the context of this anion theory? Well, let's look at this picture we had before of inserting a 2 pi flux. And if I insert a 2 pi flux and I create a bar, and suppose I braid A around this 2 pi flux, then I should pick up an Aharonov bomb phase, so 2 pi I QA. And as we know, that should be the same as if I braided with this particular anion V. So that's the same as if I inserted this V here at this point here. And so as we discussed earlier, the Hall conductance is just a charge that binds to the 2 pi flux insertion. So this Hall conductance, or this filling fraction, should be given by the charge of this V, because I've inserted this V here. So then that implies that the Hall conductance is just given by the topological spin of V. So you can read off the filling from that. And throughout this talk, I will often refer to what is called in the literature the minimal quasi-hole and the minimal quasi-particle. The minimal quasi-hole is the anion with the smallest positive charge, and the minimal quasi-particle is the anion with the smallest negative fractional charge, because particles are electrons, or built out of electrons. So as I mentioned before, the main question here is, what is the anion theory at each filling? So if we have nu equals 1/3, what is the anion theory here? And we have all of these other fillings that we want to explain. Of course, as I mentioned on the previous slide, you can actually have an infinite number of theories that give you a particular filling. They can be infinitely complicated, but let's look at a particularly simple example. So let's look at this 1/3 filling. It has this very deep plateau. It's a stable gapped phase, it seems. So what is the anion theory describing that? And this is in the 1/3 filling state. And a very simple anion theory you can write down is just an abelian anion theory. And so they fuse with this abelian fusion rule, and the topological spins and the braiding are given by what I wrote up here. And you can check that this A to the third is a fermion, it has fermionic statistics, and it braids trivially with everything else in your theory. You can also write down a Lagrangian if you wanted to for this particular theory, which is just abelian transcendence theory. Now let's describe how the U1 symmetry is implemented here. We can choose this V to be the generator of this U1 level 3. And then you can check that the charge of this A to the N is N over 3, given by the braiding with this A. And so you can also read off the filling by the from the self-statistics of the generator of the U1 level 3, and the filling is 1/3, as we wanted. Okay, so you can say, there's other theories that also have nu equals 1/3, but this is a particularly nice theory because it is small rank, it has a small chiral center charge, and it's abelian, as Fiona mentioned earlier this week, nature seems to like abelian things. Nature also seems to like small Rankine, small chiral central charge that seems to give more stable topological phases that might be realized in real systems. So we're pretty confident that this one-third state is actually just that abelian theory. Okay.
I have a simple question.
Yes.
Is it true that nature actually likes abelian states, or is it the case that we just don't know how to distinguish abelian and non-abelian states in a given?
Yeah, so it is quite difficult to distinguish abelian and non-abelian states. I will mention an example later on where nature gives us a non-abelian state instead of an abelian one, because an abelian one has higher rank and somehow is not as favorable. So it's not always the case that nature gives us the abelian theory. But that's just also probably it's easier to measure abelian ones. And as I mentioned, it's hard to detect what your material is giving you. Yes? The thermal hall conductance. So you can measure thermal hall conductance. That is harder to measure. And then just the filling. But people have measured thermal hall conductance. Actually, I will give an example later on where people don't know what the anion theory is. So they try to measure the thermal hall conductance. And that gives something that some people find puzzling. And yeah. But yeah, people can also measure that as well.
Yes. In this plot, I don't see 5-half state.
So I will zoom in. So I will zoom in later. If you zoom in here, there will be a plot that's zoomed in here, and we'll see 5-halves.
Really?
Yes. No. You will see when I zoom in. that will be important in this talk, actually. Okay, so suppose we wanted to study this 2/5 state. And you will see that if you just start with U1 level K, U1 level M, you'll just get an odd denominator fraction because you need the theory to be fermionic, so this M has to be odd. So suppose you wanted to figure out what is the anion theory here. Well, as I mentioned before, there's an infinite number of possible anion theories, but you can see that it is rather close to this very, very strong plateau. So maybe you can think of what is the most likely phase to be happening here by starting off in the 1/3 and thinking about what happens as you lower the magnetic field. So this is what I mean by families. You can think about what is the likely, you can think about if you have your material in a magnetic field, you tune the magnetic field a little bit away from the original magnetic field. What are the possible gapped phases that your system stabilizes to? And those will have to do with what theory you started off, what the parent theory is. So this is what I mean by family. And the physical picture is as follows. You start off in the 1/3 state, and you slightly lower the magnetic field. So now you have some quasi-particle excitations. And these will tend to be the minimal quasi-particles, the one with the smallest charge. And then you can think about what happens when you get a finite density of these quasi-particles. And of course, what minimal quasi-particle nucleates depends on what your original topological order was. And so this kind of hierarchy construction to explain these other gap phases has a huge, long history that there's this review paper here that goes through that. And there's many, many pictures for what is physically going on. One of the pictures is that you start off in this 1/3 state. Now, you can write down Lagrangian that should describe that effective field theory. And then you have this minimal quasi-particle. And you say, OK, at a mean field level, so this is your original. This M is a 3. I should have put a 3 here. So this is your original topological order. These are dynamical emergent U1 gauge fields. This is your classical U1 gauge field because there's a physical charge. And then these are your quasi-particles, and they carry gauge charge. So there's this coupling to this dynamical gauge field here. And you say, OK, maybe at a mean field level, this little a doesn't respond to the insertion of these quasi-particles. And so now what I have is kind of a little puddle of bosons that are in an effective magnetic field given by this little a. And so now those can condense into another Laughlin state, another fractional quantum Hall state. And so you get this kind of effective field theory. This is your original one. This is your new 1 over P2 kind of abelian state, a Laughlin state. And then they're coupled in this way from this term here.
What's P2?
P2 is given by the filling of these quasi-particles. Yeah. And so you can do that. And within the framework of this effective field theory, we know basically all the ways to compute all the particle statistics, all the charges, and all those things. And you can just summarize it as this new filling fraction of this particular theory here will have, if you choose the smallest P2, which is this P2 is going to be, this P2, this has to be even, so this should be 2. Okay, so if you choose P2 equals 2, then this will give you nu equals 2 fifths, which is that theory that we just saw. And you can check that it's actually just an abelian anion theory generated by an anion with this topological spin and these charges that you can read off from this effective field theory. And more generally, if you start off with 1 over P1, P1 is going to be odd because you start off with a fermionic theory, then you get this particular filling fraction from this hierarchy construction. And so that is what you say is the theory that's realized at this magnetic field. So this is nice because it's, again, small rank. It has sort of small Kao-Center charge. It's, again, abelian, which may or may not be important. And importantly, it's kind of closely related to strong plateau. So we have an idea of how to get from here to here. Okay. Now, this is not so nice because the statement is you're kind of condensing anions into a Laughlin state or into some topological order. But this is hard to generalize to non-abelian topological orders because you don't have really a nice wave function or Lagrangian to work with sometimes. And also, it's And also, we like to condense bosons. We don't really like condensing anions, right? So the kind of new approach that we've developed is a reinterpretation of this hierarchy construction in the following way. So C is your original theory. So I could have said C is this U1 level 3, for example. And we say that as you tune this magnetic field a little bit away from the original magnetic field, you can nucleate a new topological order D, because now you have some extra magnetic field that can give you this new topological order. Okay, it may not be a very physically sound statement, but whatever. And this new topological order has nu prime filling fraction. And now you can condense something that's composite between the two to get some new topological order. And this A is going to be a condensable algebra that follows the usual notion that it's just a bunch of bosons that have certain rules for what you're allowed to condense and not condense. And the idea is that you have some minimal quasi-particles or quasi-holes here, but those are anions, so they can't condense. So they need to bind with something in this theory D to become a boson that you can actually condense. And so I'll go into more details in a bit, but first two kind of disclaimers. Because we're always going to be talking about fermionic theories, this isn't, from my understanding, there isn't that much work done on what is like a Lagrangian algebra in fermionic topological orders. So I'm going to be kind of hand-waving a bit in this talk, but in the back, for the rigorous calculations, you actually take this fermionic theory, you do a minimal modular extension to a bosonic theory, you do everything in the bosonic theory, then you map back to a fermionic theory and check that it doesn't depend on the minimal modular extension. There's also another way where you can work directly with the S and T matrices that are degenerate, but we can talk offline if you're interested. But I'll be kind of hand-waving for the purpose of this talk, but keep in mind that they are fermionic theories. And generally, this A is not Lagrangian. And I think we often talk about Lagrangian algebras because we think about gap boundaries, but these are chiral theories. There's no gap boundary, so it's not going to be Lagrangian. It's just some condensable algebra. Yes?
Is there any simplification for abelian fermionic theories where you can think of them as stacking?
Yes. I will go through an abelian example, And I will use kind of an abusive notation where sometimes A is like a Lagrangian sub, sometimes A is a condensable subgroup, sometimes it's an algebra. And you can pick up what I mean from the context. Yeah.
So is there always an actual A common to both C and D?
Yeah, because we can choose this D to be anything.
Oh, okay.
So you can always build, you could just tack with a time reversal if you wanted to, yeah. So. But that's probably not what you want to do.
So A is generally not Lagrangian in C tensor D?
Yes, it's not Lagrangian in C. So this theory is not going to be just a trivial theory. It's going to be some other fractional quantum Hall phase.
Okay.
Okay, so as I mentioned before, first, this is relatively easy to generalize to non-abelian fractional quantum Hall phases. And second, it's kind of more universal because all we're really using is the algebraic data of the anion theory and its U1 fractionalization. So it doesn't, you don't need to write down like a microscopic wave function or effective field theory to do this. And so, yeah, again, this is the physical picture. We tune this magnetic field slightly away. And so usually in this case, the filling fraction will go down. So you think about nucleating a minimal quasi-hole. And this will give you a quasi-hole hierarchy. So it will give you some series of fractional quantum Hall states with typically smaller filling fraction. So you take the minimal quasi-hole here in this theory, and because those are the lowest energy excitations, so you want to construct a condensable algebra that includes that guy, bound with some guy in D. And then you kind of do the opposite, or like a similar thing if you want to construct the quasi-particle hierarchy. Now you take the guy with the smallest negative charge and you try to find a D that can make it a boson so you can condense it, yes?
I saw the FB comparing to B0 determines what D you can attach to.
Yes.
So rather than any arbitrary D, right?
Yes. So that D will depend on whether you're looking at the quasi-hole or the quasi-particle hierarchy. So is that your question or?
Yeah, so any constraint on that D?
Yeah. So that will constrain, for example, because typically your D will be some non-abelian with some U1 sector. And whether that U1 sector is like positive or negative chirality, so like U1 level K versus U1 level minus K, depends on if you want to look at the quasi-particle or quasi-hole hierarchy. Because that will either increase or decrease your filling fraction.
Uh-huh. U1 part probably is correct. But what's the justification to attach some non-abelian part to D?
Yeah, so sometimes if you just try to do it with an abelian theory, you don't find anything that works. And I will show an example.
Okay, what do you mean by work? So start with new.
Yes.
Your original undeformed.
Yes.
Phase. Then you're like trying to get something with a different filling fraction.
Yes.
The different one is new plus new prime.
Yes.
So basically, are you saying that you could, and basically the one obvious constraint is that D should have filling fraction which is
positive or negative. Yeah.
Minus new, right?
Yes.
The one constraint. And other than that.
But we want to derive the new total, right? So we want to say what are the possible new totals. Nature doesn't tell us what new total is already, right? So
going back, if I start with the same question, basically
yes.
Start with C.
Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
And if you found some boson to condense, then gives you something, right?
Yes.
Not fail.
Yes.
So in that sense, it always works.
It always works, but it might not be physical, which I will get onto this slide here. So there's two parts. There's the math, and then there's the physics. So the math, you can just plug in the machinery of the math, right? So there are some things you need to check. So first, you need to find a D such that this has a condensable algebra that contains this quasi-hole or quasi-particle. That's step one. Second, these condensed anions have to carry zero electric charge because you don't want to spontaneously break the U1 symmetry. So that gives some constraints. And also, as we mentioned, this used to give this new prime of the correct sign for the quasi-hole or quasi-particle hierarchy. Those are the things you can just check mathematically. Now the physics, because you could, there's this huge zoo of possible Ds that you could stack onto your theory. So there's some guiding principles from physics. First, you want this resulting theory to have kind of small-ish rank, relatively small. You don't want to just stack on something that has a million anions, And then you also want this D to have relatively small chiral central charge because that's more likely to be stabilized in the experiment. And then third, you want this nu total to be somewhat close to this original nu. So you want this nu prime, the absolute value, to be relatively small, because then you can say this kind of physical picture that I said is maybe somewhat reasonable.
What's the minus?
Chiral central charge.
How do you determine that?
Well, that's determined by the anion data.
It doesn't only determine C minus modulo sum 24.
Yeah. So
it's small compared to what? It's like so small than 24.
It is. Well, you don't really imagine stacking also a million E8 states with it. But the anion data only defines. So you're correct, but so maybe this is a bit ill-defined. Yes.
Have a lower bound for these things, given some C. Where's the these things that you can get?
There's probably some theory that gives you the smallest rank, so you could use that as a guiding principle.
Oh, I mean, like, do you have to just go through all of them, or is there like some general bound?
This is not going to be trivial because in general they're going to, actually this can be trivial depending, like if you just totally forget about the other things, like this new total can be whatever, then you could always just set this to be the trivial theory because you can stack with a time result. So I wouldn't say there's any like lower bound in that sense. Yeah.
Just like a question about the philosophy. So I could have also gone to your graph and been like, oh, but I see a state at 2/5 or 3/7, and then that would fix new total, and then that would put at least some constraints on.
Yes, that's a, yeah, that's something. Okay, so let's warm up with the abelian case. When I say condensable subgroup, I just mean some subgroup of the abelian anions with trivial mutual braiding. And because we are dropping the Lagrangian condition, we don't need the other anions to be confined. The resulting theory will just be the anions that have trivial mutual braiding with every anion that you're condensing. So let's go back to our favorite 1/3 example. And this, as I already wrote the anion data and the U1 fractionalization before, but now our task is to rederive that hierarchy from this condensing picture. So the minimal quasi particle in this case is this A to the minus 1. So that's the guy we want to condense. So let's do the naive thing, which is we just stack this guy with an abelian topological order. So we stack this guy with U1 level M. And then you want this theory to have anions. So I'll label the generator by B. And you want this theory to have an anion B to the L that combined with your A to the minus 1 to become a boson. So you can condense a subgroup that's generated by this guy. And so this is the condition that you get. You have 1 over 6 plus L squared over 2m equals n, where n is an integer. And this is what you get if you require this guy to be a boson. And you also, then you can just solve this, and then you get these solutions for what L and m can be. And now what you do is you also have this zero charge condition. So this is the charge of your quasi-particle, and this is your charge of your B to the L, so you want their sum to be 0. And that fixes the sign of this L. So now if we take n equals 1, which is the first level hierarchy, then this L is going to be 5, and this M is going to be 15. So you can check that if you condense this guy in U1 level 3 times U1 level 15, okay, 15 is a large number, but we will see larger numbers later on, very large numbers. And this, you can check, has filling fraction 2/5, like that other state that we had before. And this resulting theory is generated by B to the minus 3. You can check that braids trivially with this guy. And it has the same spins and charges as the other theory that we got from the Lagrangian. You can check this. So the anion theory, you can match them, but you can also match it at the level of the Lagrangian. So you can write down a Lagrangian for this U1 level 3 times U1 level 15. And then you can stack with some trivial theories. So if you actually want to condense this guy, you think about the boundary, then this is all chiral, so you actually can't gap out these modes. So you need to stack with some trivial theories. But if you stack with the appropriate like trivial invertible theories, you can actually get a GLNZ transformation that directly maps this K matrix theory to the one that I wrote earlier. Yes.
Is the ground state degeneracy the same?
Yes.
For this?
Okay.
It has the same anions, so there's the same number of this rank is the same. Okay. So more generally, if you start off with U1 level P1 and you define this 2n equals P2, then you recover exactly the same hierarchy as you had before. You could also do the same thing with the quasi-whole hierarchy and recover what people had derived from the Lagrangian approach. So as I mentioned, if you zoom in here, so now this doesn't look like it has a bump, but if you zoom in, you find the 5/2 dip here. And this was already discovered long, long ago. And this is one of the few experimental candidates we have for a non-abelian topological phase. The topological order is kind of defined mod 1. So you could say the filling fraction is 1/2 stuck with some invertible guys. So we're going to be looking at anion theories that give you filling fraction 1/2.
Why does it go to 0 at 5 over 2? Or at 8 or 3 or 7 over 3?
Yeah, so the experiment is not perfect. But
don't they not supposed to go down as you decrease temperature, right?
Yeah, so maybe as you take the temperature to be lower, this will be a nicer dip down. I don't know what. Oh, okay. This is the temperature, right? So you can read off the through here.
Doesn't it? I think now they have like better samples, and it looks.
Yeah, this looks ancient.
Better.
Yeah, I will give more recent experiments later in this talk.
Wait.
Yes.
The other way, right? Like it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
some of the more ray matter stuff, it doesn't actually go to zero, and then people are confused by that right now with the experiments. And now I see it happening in the original case now.
Yeah, but we'll look at some more recent samples later, actually. But indeed, it's hard to tell from this. Okay, so suppose that we want to study what are the possible and likely anion theories, filling fraction 1/2. There are many possible candidates. These are the top contenders. There's also an abelian one, but that doesn't seem to be as likely. This is what's called the Pfaffian, the antipfaffian, and the particle hole symmetric Pfaffian. And this is basically an Ising theory times a U1 level 8 mod Z2. The mod Z2, I'm going to write explicitly what the anions are later, but this is just saying, I'm going to consider the fermion as kind of condensed, so I'm going to throw out the anions that braid non-trivially with the fermion because I need a transparent fermion in my theory. But I'll show you exactly what the anion theory is later on. These all have the same filling fraction. They have different thermal Hall conductance, chiral center charge. So some experiments seem to favor this guy when you measure the thermal Hall conductance, but then other things, like if you do numerics, and that seems to favor these guys. So then, and in different materials at different like fillings, you can have different theories. So these are kind of all been much studied in the past several years.
Which one has the thermal Hall, which is actually the same as like Widemann Franz related to the usual Hall?
What do you mean usual Hall?
Usual meaning like for free fermions, you know, there's a Widemann Franz law which says that thermal Hall is
yes
proportional to the usual Hall. So if I remember correctly, one of them has actually this relation satisfying the other two don't.
Yeah, I think that it's like 3/2, 7/2, and 5/2 or something for these. So you're saying it should be related to?
I'm not saying it should be.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, people tried to measure thermal Hall, they actually got Widemann-Franz law is satisfied. So
yeah,
it was
I,
is,
think this is a theory that matches most with the thermal Hall conductance measurements. But it's not really favored in experiments where, in numerics where people try to like just put the Coulomb interaction projected into whatever lambda level they want to look at.
What rules out the abelian candidates?
Well, that's kind of, that theory doesn't seem to be what people find in the sense that it doesn't have the right thermal Hall conductance. It doesn't show up in the numerics. It shows up in some materials, but not, like, it's not as common as these guys. I think in like gallium arsenide or something, in certain kind of stacked layers, there's evidence for that. But generally, it's one of these guys. Okay, so then the question is, what is the theory realized in a given experiment? One solution is to measure the hierarchy fillings. So you can imagine in your experiment, you're gonna tune your magnetic field a little bit away from your original magnetic field. And you ask, what gap phases does your system stabilize to? And each of these have different set of quasi-hole and quasi-particle hierarchy. So if you measure those filling fractions, which is the easiest thing to measure in the lab, you can try to figure out if your thing is realizing this one, or this one. And as I will show later, they actually do that in the lab. Okay, so let's focus on one of these guys, which is the Pakian theory. So this is the anion, list of anions. And this is your transparent fermion. It varies trivially with every other guy. And it has the usual Ising fusion rules. And this A is just abelian, so it has the usual abelian fusion rules. And they have these topological spins, which I'm reminding you of here, of the Ising MPC and of the abelian U1 level 8. And recall that I've gotten rid of the A. It doesn't braid, it braids non-trivially with my fermion. So if I wanted to take the minimal modular extension of this guy, it would literally just be like Ising times U1 level 8. That would be one of the possible minimal modular extensions of this. And now the fractional charge in this theory is going to be given by the braiding with A square. So the charge of this A to the N is just N over 4. And you can read off that the minimal quasi-hole is this non-abelian guy, actually. So you want to condense something non-abelian. It has charge 1/4. And then there's also the minimal quasi-particle, which has charge minus 1/4. And you can read off from the top, the spin of this A square, that this has filling fraction 1/2, which is what you want because it's 1/2 plus some integer is the filling fraction that they found that state. So let's try to condense this guy by stacking with a D that's abelian. So if we do that, then we just do the same calculation as we did before. So we want this to be a boson, this sigma A B bar to the L to be a boson. And I'm working with the quasi-hole hierarchy, which is why I'm choosing this to be minus. And so the B just means that you need to keep track of this minus sign. So you want this to be boson, so you can solve this equation. So N is some integer. When you solve that equation, you find that L is going to be 8 times some integer plus 1, and M is given by this. And the important thing is now, if you try to fuse two of these guys together, you find that you can do the calculation and check that this guy, regardless of what N is, this guy's always going to have spin minus I. So none of these guys are bosons. And if you recall, like in a condensable algebra, you have this condition, like N A and B is less than or equal to sum N A B C M C, where this is the coefficient. In your condensable algebra. And so now you have n a square is less than or equal to, this right-hand side is 0, because nothing on the right-hand side can be condensed. So n a also has to be 0. So this doesn't give you a solution. You need to do something more complicated. OK, so let's do something a little bit more complicated. So we stack with d is Ising bar times U1 level minus m. And this is, I want this to be a fermionic theory, so I'm going to do the same mod Z2 that had the same, but this has the same meaning as when I defined this theory here. Okay, so you can go through the same exercise again, and you find that the simplest possible one gives you I think bar times U1 level minus 136. And there's no reason why nature would want to give me I think bar times U1 level minus 136. But in any case, this is the guy that we condense. And there's more, but I just haven't read the whole thing, but it's rather easy. You can just work this out. As a disclaimer, I didn't work out the associator or anything, but you can check that it satisfies the eigenvalue under S and T matrices if you take the minimal modular extension, et cetera. So it's reasonable that you can condense this guy. And you can compute the filling fraction of these theories is labeled by N. And the filling fraction is 8n over 16n plus 1, given by just taking the filling fraction of this Pfaffian, which is 1 half, and then you take the filling fraction of this guy, which will give you this. The resulting theory you can check is just abelian, is generated by this guy. Of course, there's a lot of relabeling because you've condensed a lot of anions, but you can write it as generated by this guy, and it has this topological spin in this charge. So some abelian theory that you get at the end of the day.
Oh, does this agree with Michael?
Yes. So I should mention that back in 2009, Michael and Bert also derived these two hierarchies from the wave function. So they wrote down the wave function of this Pfaffian state, and then they inserted holes and particles into this wave function, and then they integrated over the positions of those holes and particles, and then they recovered, they derived originally these hierarchy states. They couldn't, well, you can't really do the same thing with pH Pfaffian because this has like holomorphic and anti-holomorphic parts, so there's not really a nice wave function you can write down to try to play the same game. But you can check that these are what you get if you just apply the method that I described earlier to this pH Pfaffian. And you can also observe that these match in certain places. So if you just measure at 8/17, you don't actually know if it's coming from Pfaffian or pH Pfaffian. So you need to measure actually both sides, the quasi-hole and the quasi-particle hierarchy, to distinguish the three. And so the kind of amazing thing is that this is actually observed. So back in 2017, in this Bernal stacked graphene experiment, they found these hierarchy states. So this is some capacitance measurement that basically tells you how incompressible the state is, like how gapped it is. So when it peaks, that means that it's like incompressible. So there's a huge one at 1/2. This is a new tilde, so it's not actually 1/2, it's like 3/2 actually. But there's this peak here, and there's also like a tiny peak here. But there's no peak at, so then they claim that this is actually the Pfaffian state because these match with the Pfaffian, but not with the anti-Pfaffian. And then more recently, there was also this other experiment where they looked at this Bernal stack graphene at many different filling fractions. And also, they found that some of them have hierarchy states that match with the Pfaffian, and some of them match with the anti-Pfaffian. But we don't see any pH Pfaffian, so it doesn't seem like pH Pfaffian occurs in any of these samples. So you can see that there's a dip here that corresponds to these two filling fractions. Okay, so it's kind of amazing that in this like physical picture, you're imagining stacking this Pfaffian with like Ising bar times U1 level minus 136. And I don't, maybe that's not what actually happens in the physical system, but it's mathematically allowed. And it gives you something that seems to be realized. So that's. Yes?
Can I think of these stacking with non-abelian stuff as like the minimal quasi-holes forming some non-abelian state? Is that kind of what you were?
Well, I want to condense those guys, right? So I'm not saying those guys form a non-abelian state. I want to find some other topological order so that I can condense those. Because I imagine that the lowest energy excitations are those minimal quasi-holes. So they're the most likely excitations in your system to occur, and then they're the most likely to also condense.
Is there similar data on Gaudium austenite?
I don't know about gallium arsenide, if they have also measured these hierarchy states. Probably there's a quick Google Scholar search that I can make, but yeah.
So what is the material on the right?
This is Bernal stack graphene.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So far you have discussed boson condensations in fermionic topological order.
Yes.
But if you have fermionic topological order, you can also do fermion.
You can condense fermions. The thing is that fermions will generally carry integer charge. Like the transparent fermion has to carry integer charge. So you can't actually condense. Yeah, yeah. So that's why I wanted to condense bosons.
So obviously, okay, so here you're saying, hey, I can obtain these states by doing this particular stacking.
Yes.
But as you said, there's sort of like an almost infinite range of things that you could entertain. Do you have any sort of, and you know, maybe it's not so counterintuitive that, you know, you should stack with something that's sort of similar in some way, but do you have any intuition of like, you know, how to think about, I want to stack with something to find something that's, you know, in some sense, like minimally complicated?
Yeah. So for example, you could have stacked this Pfaffian theory with, instead of Ising times some U1 factor, instead you could do SU2 level 2 times some U1 factor. Because SU2 level 2 is very similar to Ising. The only thing that's different is the topological spin of the non-abelian guy is slightly different. And you can show that there is a condensable algebra there. You can condense. But SU2 level 2 with this U1 factor, that has a bit higher like chiral central charge. And so you might say that's maybe not as likely than this one here. It is, at the end of the day, it's all kind of mathematically allowed. And the physics perspective is working out the ones that are more likely, and that is not as rigorous. So I can't say for sure, you can't, like those will also produce hierarchy states, and I can't say for sure that won't be observed or something. Right? So you just list out the possible ones that are possible. Yes.
I'm asking the same question in some sense, but the more complicated D gets, does that necessarily mean that C times D mod A gets more complicated?
You
have a super, super complicated D, but condense it in like the perfect way, such as C times D mod A is kind of simple still.
That is a possibility. In fact, right, you could always stack with like a bunch of Tor codes and say, okay, I'm going to add to my condensable algebra a bunch of things that completely trivialize all the Tor codes. So that's definitely, you can do that.
Then yeah, this is when you have like U1 level, whatever, 100 and something.
Yes.
You just made some comment about like nature probably not wanting that, but D seems kind of totally fictitious and who cares how complicated it is. I just want something that's simple in the end. So is it bad that D is complicated? It seems like it's okay.
Yeah, it seems like it's okay. So actually in quantum Hall experiments, people don't usually find filling fractions smaller than 1/7 or something because it favors actually a Wigner crystal. And I clearly use a U1 level 15, so that's bigger than, 15 is bigger than 7. So I think that the physical picture that we initially started off with when we were trying to figure out how to do this thing was that you nucleate this D and then something condenses. But probably that doesn't happen in that step-like procedure where first you nucleate this thing and then the condensation happens. Probably there's some mixture of different steps going on at the same time such that this is really kind of a fictitious D and it just doesn't go through this intermediate step of just having a very unstable topological order with your original C. So that's true.
Then maybe another question is, yeah, D still kind of feels fictitious and it's more like a math tool to like produce the states. But do you think that the condensation transitions could tell you anything about the actual phase transitions you see in experiments between the plateaus?
I would say that in terms of like, by condensation transition, what do you mean?
Yes, like you do some stacking and then
yes.
You see anions, and that's and there's some phase transition.
Yes.
And in principle, you could study that phase transition at the level of the topological order.
Yes.
And compare that to like the real life phase transition between the plateaus. I would guess they're not related, but you'd know better.
I think it's very hard to measure critical properties in the experiment of the phase transition, is my understanding. So if you could measure all the critical properties, then there's still the question of what is the theory of the phase transition, which for non-abelian condensation, I don't even know theoretically what I observe, let alone how to interpret the experimental data that they would give me. Like, how do I measure? I don't know what would be the critical exponents, or even if it's second order, I don't know if the experiment would have the resolution to detect that either.
Yeah, I guess I was wondering if you have a guess if like this condensation trick could be used as a way to try studying the real-life phase transitions. Just a guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say it would help if you knew the phase transition, like what the critical properties were. And I think that's already a hard theoretical question. If you have non-abelian condensation, for example. Yeah.
Is there an analogous story where I introduce like a LSM anomaly, like a mixed anomaly with the crystalline symmetry?
So generally these systems are very disordered and there's no translation symmetry. Actually, you need the disorder to kind of stabilize the plateaus. So I wouldn't expect there to be any of those kind of symmetries.
Any further questions? In that case, let's thank Carolyn.